For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jahan Dotson is a tough one for me. He's young. He was a 16th overall pick, I think. 3 years ago. I mean, it's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Washington has just been loaded with quarterback talent, you know, keen on offense, the kinds of things where you would not be tempted to make an excuse for the player, right? Like maybe it's not all on him. But for as much time as I spent before the draft and we spent talking about yards per route run and how many like with Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell, why is this stat so ridiculously low for players with this much talent? It's not a great sign. And, you know, with Dawson Knox, prior to that, he not being able to command targets was always like the reason why I don't pay him or expect him to be a big deal in my passing offense. Mm-hmm. There's more to football than just, you know, getting targets. But that's, to me, like...
Especially for a tight end, sure, right.
Yeah. He came off a year where he had 8 or 9 touchdowns. And I'm like, I don't care about that. Because that's not sticky. That's not something that you would expect a player to just be able to repeat. And the next year, he might have had 2 or something. So, that's... Like, those are the big stats. And they can be kind of quarterback-proof. No matter how good the quarterback is... They know what they're trying to do is get the ball to their best player. Like they're trying to get the ball in the right guy's hands. That's what they're all trying to do, no matter how good they are. And Dotson has suffered badly in that. He does not get targets. He's on the field, or he was. This year they were having hold for place kicks.
There are guys I've never heard of that were, you know, playing ahead of him.
He seemed like he was really in tough, and I guess that's right because they traded him
right
to the Eagles, division rival. So he's one of these guys, like there are a lot of these guys where, and Coleman might end up being one of them, where you might have a certain reason for thinking, I'm worried here. And now Dotson is years into his career. That's more relevant than spec on Coleman, but I'm not even sure it's a fair comparison. But Dotson with Washington was not able to get there. And, you know, here are the Bills in a moment where we really don't know what they have at receiver. A guy gets traded for so little like this. I'm sure there are plenty of Bills fans thinking, oh, I would have paid that. I don't know. Maybe I would have.
I don't know that I would have. It's a third. It's a bunch of stuff to change, you know, a bunch of sevens and whatever, but a third is the big piece there, right? In the return going back from Philly to Washington. And I feel like the Bills, they were right. They have been right to be in the scratch and dent, you know, let's see what, you know, just dredge the bottom here and see what we can drum up here. And maybe you can, you know, reclaim your draft status, right? Isabella, KJ Hamler, Chase Claypool, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They're not all the same, but like similar enough. Those are all players you could just go out and bring in, right? To varying degrees with no risk at all, no guaranteed money. You know, MBS is a little different. He got some, but still not big. I don't feel like Dotson at this stage, I mean, I know he's still so young. I'm not sure what I'd be buying there. And if I have to buy it, like if I have to pay something for it, even, you know, a day two pick, I'm not sure I'd love that, because I still feel like I'm just taking a flyer on a guy that might not be that good. And I'm giving up something that could be useful to me either in a trade or certainly just next year in the draft for this team. I mean, we've said it again and again here that with their new life here with Josh Allen on the big contract, that they're going to need every premium asset they've got in the draft to replenish the roster and make sure they can get guys on rookie contracts that can contribute and help them win games. And I'm not sure. Like, I don't feel like Dotson... If he were more proven, it would have cost more, obviously. I would have been leery of it. And I don't feel like he's that different from, like, Khalil Shakir or Curtis Samuel or, like, really anybody that's already here. So, I don't know. I wasn't nuts about it. I like the player coming out just fine, you know, in the draft cycle. And, you know, he had a decent first year, I think. But
it's okay.
It just kind of fell apart. So I don't know, I would have been buyer beware myself, I think. Just it feels a little bit redundant with what I've already got going on here, and again having to pay for it. Like if he were just on the street suddenly, like he's a cut, and like, you know, obviously he wasn't that poorly thought of that Washington had to stoop to that. They were able to get something back for him, so good on them. I would have taken a flyer on him for free, but not even for a third round pick myself.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it ever too late? I mean, when they were signing Claypool and Valdes-Scantling, it was, I don't know, June or July?
Yeah.
June, maybe even?
I think June, yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while, there was, like, this new move, and I felt, you know, okay, I'm a little scared, because every one of these, I mean, last week we had Corey Davis for a minute.
That's right.
And two players as well, when they had injuries, Damier Bird and Deion Kane. Like, it's a little scary to think about the Bills that are they're still grasping at this. But at the same time, it's what they should do. It's just this is what they're telling you that they don't know. And the more guys they can bring in, yes, it's, quote, camp bodies and fill out the preseason game, all that. Not in June or July. June or July, you know, these are candidates to make your roster. You're giving them a look. Valdes-Scantling, you wouldn't have paid him anything.
Right.
Guaranteed money-wise if you didn't kind of have plans for him. So it's all kind of been, oof. I don't know if they think they have it. And I wonder if you get to a point where, I mean, now the season's in 2.5 weeks, and you also, you still want to be open to new opportunities. I'm sure there'll be a lot of player movement once the cuts all happen, and maybe the Bills will cut extra guys to be able to sign someone else's guys.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, like now it's time, and maybe they are kind of done looking for starters or whatever. I mean, Dotson would be borderline that.
Yeah, starters, I think, yeah, probably. But I don't know, you know, I think the exception to that, because it is late, and I think that is that's a point to be made. Like, you know, you never know until you get a guy in your building how he's actually going to fit into not just your culture and the personality and all that stuff, but even just, you know, on the field. Like, does he flourish in a system that's similar to what we want to be doing here? I think the exception to that is, you know, if they've got knowledge on, you know, a guy or guys out there that, you know, they've worked with, that Joe Brady knows, could work in my offense. You know, I remember meeting this kid at the draft, during the draft process 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I really liked him. I could still see them at receiver specifically doing that, you know, if the right name pops up on the waiver wire. But yeah, just taking flyers on guys, I think that's, well, that's still what that would be, but I think you just have to have some institutional knowledge of the guy, like trust that I know he can do this thing for us that I need us to do. Then maybe you could still add, but yeah, I think they're just throwing stuff at the wall to see if anything sticks. Period is almost done.
So I mentioned earlier, you know, we've gone back and forth on the Jets this year. Now they're at some books the AFC East betting favorite. There's certainly a lot of interest in them. You hate it. I mean, you hate the idea of, you're not high on them. You're low on the Jets.
I'm very low on the Jets.
Let's get this right.
Yes.
So the Jets would not qualify as thing you're afraid of this year. There could be an interesting list of answers to that. Because you have other teams, Jets, Dolphins, whatever. I guess Kansas City, but what's left to say?
I'm not scared of them because I know exactly what they are, which is generally better than me. So I don't know. That's intimidating, which isn't exactly the same as fear. Like, you know, I feel
right
going in to play them, or especially play them in January. Like, okay, I'm going to need to do everything right here, and maybe then even still, it's not going to be enough. That's not an unknown. Like, fear is something that you're not maybe necessarily expecting, or is going to surprise you in some way that, oh, I didn't expect that to be that good, or a team that hasn't been in your way that suddenly now is, like the Jets. Yeah, the Jets could. I'm choosing to not be afraid of them, but I get it. I mean, if I'm wrong and Rodgers can move around like he's always moved around, well enough anyway, right? I don't expect him to look like he's 28 years old anymore. He's 40. If he stays upright, then I'm in trouble. Like, all of this bravado is gonna get a big swift one right between the legs. If it's November and he's tracking on, you know, a 4,500 yard season or something, like, I'm in trouble because they'll be good. They will be a problem if he stays on the field for them. I think it's really just that. I'd be afraid of a 40-year-old coming off that injury. But the rest of it, it's no mystery to me why they're now FanDuel has them ahead of the Bills, even in the AFC East odds, only by a bit. It's like 155 to 175, I think, maybe.
It's interesting how it moves, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, just the what has happened. I mean, the Bills have had some injuries, but I'm not sure that has much to do with that. The Jets probably have had a couple of their own. I don't even know. But it's just sort of like there's a momentum to it where people are kind of talking all kind of one way. There's a chorus where I'm not saying this is necessarily how it is with the Bills, but we've certainly spent time talking about whether there's some more pessimism this year, not so much in the fan base, it's just like in the media, in among fans everywhere. I mean, are they kind of thinking that the Bills will take a step back? So you have that plus Rodgers being healthy and all the good players they have, it makes sense to me that it's moved that way. Sometimes that movement doesn't make sense to me, but this one kind of does. And it's just, so what are you afraid of this year? It's not necessarily another team. Like, this wide receiver issue is, somebody's thinking that they just don't have the talent at that position to thrive. And as good as Allen is, he's going to need help. I mean, that's been true of his career. He's not somebody that can't live without it. No one is, really. I mean, even Mahomes has that. So maybe it's wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the injury stuff that's happened. Maybe it's the fact that you're going to have to listen to us talk about Stephon Diggs and Xavier Worthy every week if they're good.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not. If I'm not telling you, I'm scared of the Chiefs. I'm not scared of the Jets. Yeah, I would cop to being more scared that the Bills just aren't gonna have it. That I've said this a few times and maybe a few different ways. That a piece of the Diggs trade, I don't think it's why you make the trade. It has got to be the other mitigating factors, personality clash, whatever it is. You're just tired of the whole thing, the drama and the whatever. Maybe there is something to his production dropping off the way it has the last two second halves of the seasons that have just passed. But it's more, do I have what I need? And did Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, when they knew, okay, it's time with Hyde and Poyer, it's time with Tre'Davious White, it's time with Mitch Morse, we got to just do this. Did it get to a point where they were talking about it and just thought, looking ahead, because you definitely would always be doing that, well, probably next year is where we want to make the move on Diggs. So let's draft a guy this year and just be ready to make a transition. And maybe someone raised their hand and just said, why don't we just go all the way this year? just tear it all the way off, the Band-Aid, the old metaphor, and we'll just swallow hard on all of it. And, yeah, you know, we'll go get Curtis Samuel, and we like Khalil Shakir, and we like all that. But really, internally, it's just like, let's put our heads down and hope for the best. Because rather than hamstring ourselves 2 years in a row, right, we're divesting ourselves of all these veterans, going to have all this turnover. And then next year, you know, when we go to pick up the pieces here and move on with, you know, see how we did without those guys, we're still going to be hamstrung by the dead money with Diggs, if indeed that was the plan. And I think it, there was going to be a point where they were going to have to do it. And next offseason was probably a decent landing spot for that, but it would have messed up their ability to go replenish next year. Now they're, you know, more free and clear. They're not free and clear. They still have issues financially, but the Diggs thing is over after this year. I mean, it's all one hit. And there is something to be said for just, you know, just getting it out of the way. But I don't think it's unreasonable to worry that that's really what is going on here, and that they don't really know whether they're going to be the level of contender that they've been the last couple of years, because there's a lot of unknown on the roster, even to them.
Yeah, it's been one of my questions all summer is what Brandon Bean really thinks of what he's got with the changes that have happened. Some, I'm sure, he feels, you know, at peace with, fine. Maybe all of them. But some of these are moves where it feels more like they had to do it. And that can bring on a different sort of reaction than something you wanted to do. 803-0550 for your calls. What are the two states of the, is it 50? 50 states? What are the two states?
Let me check.
That according to BetOnline, residents are predicting the Bills will win the Super Bowl this year. What are the two states?
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an easy one.
I think you're going to be wrong.
Okay.
Don't guess.
Okay.
Yet.
I'll wait. Can I guess now?
No. After the update.
Okay.
Unless it's in the update, you should not be able to find out this answer.
I won't even make the slightest effort to try to find out.
I mean, it's a little laid on thick how they come up with this sort of observation. It's from Twitter talking. They just sort of count, they track the number of tweets that are like, this is Team X's year kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But somebody did that.
I appreciate you saying you think I'll be wrong.
Okay.
But I think I've got you here.
I think I'm
ready to win. What do I win? Do I win anything?
No.
Jaguars tickets available? No. Okay.
No, you should have been here earlier. You couldn't make it, but yeah, you could have won a lot today here at the picnic.
My loss. That plate of food was great. That's enough for me.
Yeah, right.
I won that.
It was a good time. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
When he has had his opportunity, it's been solid. And for a guy that came from his upbringing in football and to be a tryout player and to go into that situation that he was in, I mean, he was going against NFL starters. I think you just see the professionalism in him, how smart he is. And, you know, obviously he showed some things in that game. But it's one game. True sign of a pro is consistency. That's what we got to see out of all our players.
Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator, talking up Joe Andreessen.
You know, that's a maybe not a sneaky cool, maybe it's just an obviously cool piece of the Panthers playing their number ones. Because I would expect Andreessen to start again in this game. I mean, the starters aren't playing, so Bernard's not playing. So Andreessen's the obvious guy to have played middle linebacker. And almost out of necessity, right? I mean, they still don't have Spector. Anyway, if he flashes again, I know it's the Carolina Panthers, but whatever. If he's playing with a bunch of backups and they're playing against ones, and he can do any of what he did last week against Pittsburgh, that might just flat out solidify his spot on the team. If it's not already solidified, which it might be.
In which case, maybe he doesn't play. But
Right. That's right. That's possible, too.
Is he the most interesting thing right now about the preseason? Like, are there cut battles in that, what they do at receiver that we've talked about to death? He might be, for me. I described him that way to my son today in a conversation.
I think that's right. Yeah. I mean, even because I don't know, there's such a variance in what he could be competing for. Like I don't know if they're, I talked to Sal on, was it Monday you were off? Monday, yes. Can he, could he play Milano's spot? Could Bernard play Milano's spot? You want to get your best 11 on the field. Maybe this is all off of a preseason game against Pittsburgh. I know.
Careful.
But is him at middle linebacker in place of Bernard, and Bernard playing Milano's role, is that my best 11? I think Dorian Williams still should have a voice in this. Like, I think he's a very exciting player to me too, and he's the guy in Milano's spot right now. But I don't know what he's even competing for. Is he competing to be the 53rd guy on the roster? Is he competing to solidify his practice squad spot? Is he competing to go play for someone else? I have no idea what they think he could be for them at this point. And maybe they don't really know either, because he's, again, it's been one preseason game.
Yep.
So that all of that equals interesting to me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the number one reason to watch the game.
Yep.
How about that? Escalated quickly. Receiver two. It's not starters, we know, but can anybody really show?
I can't really get excited myself about the receiver battle, because Ben DiNucci and
it's Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown. Yeah. What am I doing here?
That's not kind to Ben DiNucci.
That's or tough, Anthony Brown. I think. It's tough. If they're trying to sort out receiver, I think they're in tough. Again, not that Trubisky was doing great helping that along either, I wouldn't say.
Well, you could get Coleman.
Yeah, I think so.
Saturday. We will see. Okay, ready? We're all waiting your answer.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I forgot all about this, but I remember what I was going
to
say.
Bet Online emails to say they have created a map based on geotagged Twitter data, X, in the past 30 days, tracking tweets, hashtags, and direct keyword phrases. Mm. A lot of work has gone into this about who NFL fans in each state think will win Super Bowl licks.
What's that now?
LIX. 59. Super Bowl licks.
It hurt me when I heard Chris Brown earlier today say Super Bowl 59.
59. Because, we're still counting.
Because I thought 59, next year is 60. It will be 20 years since we went to a Super Bowl, because we were at Super Bowl 40. That's the last one we went to.
Right. Well, we'll go to this one.
Maybe. Maybe, because the Bills are in it.
I don't think there's any chance.
No. Maybe.
Even if they're in it. But yeah. Whatever, maybe.
I have the gear. We could just go. I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, I suggested that last year.
I know.
Right? Was it last year?
It was.
You want to just go do
just
it?
Just make plans. And of course, I said no. But I don't know. Maybe this year will be different. Anyway, so two states. So initially, I thought one place, and of course, I thought New York. And then you said, before I said anything, you said, I think you're going to be wrong.
I did.
So I eliminated New York. I think it's Wyoming and Florida.
Incorrect.
Both?
Yes.
What are people in Wyoming doing?
I said I thought you'd be wrong because I thought you would pick Wyoming. Mm. But it isn't true. What Chiefs. The Chiefs have taken over Wyoming.
Well, you know, to be fair, it usually is when the broadcast map comes out, the Bills do not get the entire state of Wyoming. It's like just a little pocket around Laramie, I feel like, that they get.
Or Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, whatever.
No, but that's most of the people, I think. Like, Wyoming is so sparsely populated.
Yeah.
I don't really know too much about
So is New York right?
Yes. New York State.
I tried too hard.
Seems to be.
Don't try, kids.
Seems to be expressing that it thinks the Bills are the favorite, or their favorite at least, our favorite, to win the Super Bowl. It's phrases like, the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl again. Detroit will win the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens will win the Super Bowl. I predict the 49ers will win the Super Bowl, etc. If you couldn't tell, I was reading all that.
Keep going.
That's all that they gave. Would you think maybe the Bills would sound something like that?
Give me some more examples. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will win. No, sorry. All right. I got
all right. Well, so I've got three questions left here.
New York.
One is, what is the other state? Two is, we'll get to how many teams claimed all the states, like any state. Only 12 teams were number one in any state.
What? I'm not sure.
Well,
I understand
Tampa
that.
Bay, who just mentioned Tampa Bay, the Bucs did not win any state.
Okay, right.
They were not first in any state.
They didn't win Florida. And
no.
They didn't. Okay, I gotcha.
Who do you think won Florida? You already said you thought the Bills, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not the Bills.
It's because, you know, transplants.
Yep.
All right, well, then Miami won.
The Dolphins.
Won Florida.
The Dolphins took Florida.
Yeah.
The Bills took New York and one other. The Jets took one state.
New Jersey?
New Jersey, correct. The Packers took one state.
Minnesota?
Wrong. Wisconsin. Who took Minnesota? Are they even on here? Yes, they're on here. Chiefs.
Wow.
The Cowboys took one state.
California.
Texas. And there are some twos and more. Yeah,
okay.
All right, what's the other Bill state going to be? It's not Wyoming.
It's North Carolina.
No. North Carolina went for the Ravens, as did Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. The Steelers came up empty this year in this.
Well,
it's an interesting...
I thought Carolina would be available to the... Well, it was available, obviously. Baltimore got it, but...
Baltimore took it.
A lot of transplants, and their team's terrible.
The Panthers.
Right, so... Yeah.
I've seen... maps, you know, studies, quote studies like this other years. It's more interesting how it plays out if the Patriots aren't good. Because the Patriots would just rule the Northeast.
Yeah.
Even maybe New York. The Bills were not as good. But now that's different. And interesting to see how that's all broken down here.
All right, so does is it like Vermont or New Hampshire or something?
Yes, Vermont.
Vermont
went for the Bills.
Loves the Bills. Vermont loves the Bills.
Evidently.
Yeah.
New Hampshire did not. New Hampshire is one of, this is going to be hard, 9 states to vote Detroit.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Yes.
Okay.
It's what's new. 9 states.
Live free or die. Sorry.
Went for the Lions.
It's not even the right state.
Including Michigan. It is the right state.
New Hampshire is live free or die. What is Vermont then?
Green Mountain.
Green Mountain. Okay. Right. Good. Thank you.
All right. Michigan and New Hampshire, 2 of 9 states to vote Lions. The others are just, I mean, go crazy.
Arkansas?
No, that's crazy. Chiefs. that's what I'm asking here.
Right.
Asking for here.
Mississippi?
No, Chiefs. Let me just tell you.
Look at the Chiefs, man.
18 states went for the Chiefs.
To hell with the Chiefs.
Right?
Get out of here, Chiefs.
Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island. All went Lions. They don't want to vote Chiefs because that's an AFC team.
Right.
Everybody kind of likes the Lions right now.
Sure. That tracks. That's not that weird, really.
So Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Maine, all Lions states. There'd be a nice little Hawaiian blue or whatever the official color is right there in the northeast of the map. Georgia went for the Lions. Alabama went for the Chiefs. Indiana. I don't know.
Lions?
Yep. You know, near Michigan. And South Carolina. There'd be the big light blue top right corner, and then there'd be light blue dots.
What this is to me is further evidence that nobody in Georgia or Atlanta likes the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be good this year, right? Kirk Cousins and all the stuff they've done here lately, although, you know, I don't know, that probably doesn't track for this, you know, polling necessarily, but still, not exactly polling either anyway, but people in Atlanta don't even care about that. They don't like the Falcons. It's the most irrelevant franchise ever.
I think you make a point. You might be right.
I mean, they're on the upswing. How are people down there not going, all right, this is the Falcons' year? Come on.
They were outvoted by Lions fans.
Because everybody that lives there is not from there. They flew in there on a Delta airplane and never figured out how to get the hell out of the airport. Stupid Atlanta.
Wow.
Build another baseball stadium while you're at it, Atlanta. You're starting plans for the new baseball stadium to replace the new baseball stadium that replaced the new baseball stadium? Jackasses.
Wow, you're very hostile here. The Texans, by the way,
After tomorrow, I'm off for a week, and this is going to be the regular season. I got to get going here.
Get it out. Texans won one state.
Nevada.
Louisiana.
All right.
East Coast of Houston.
It's close. Yeah, it's close. That makes sense.
So, and that's a, you know, respectable choice. All right. Yes, Bulldog is off next week. Time's running out to talk to him. 803-0550. That's tomorrow. That's it, unless you know him. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at WGR. If you missed our chat with Sal Capaccio, that's coming up. Bulldog is off to grade bands tonight.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yes, I'm doing that. I don't know what's involved exactly. Like, I don't know if this is we're scoring, holding up cards, like 5, 9.
I'm hoping that's it.
Or if it's like a panel where like a band is going to play and then they're going to stand there on the stage and we're going to go, that one part in the bridge, I didn't, you know, the drummer was off. I don't know what to expect tonight. I just know that the promotion for this, the people who organize it in the social media posts said, like, watch out, Bulldog's really tough.
Oh, yeah?
What are you doing this to me for? What?
Unless you're talking about Atlanta, I don't think that's really accurate.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Tough. I don't know. Whatever.
If you were competing as one of these bands, would you play a cover? Probably, right? What, are they writing their own music?
I think these are all original bands that I'm sure can play covers and probably do play covers, but I think they're all known for their own work.
Okay.
They're not going to be on the Borderland bill playing a set of covers.
They have
their own material. But a well-placed cover could really do well for a group in a setting like this. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're playing for four people who are judges, and if two of them really love the cover song, you know, then maybe that could really help you. But, you know, you can't hack it up, though. The risk is you do a cover and it's either you try to take it in another direction and it doesn't land, or you try to do a sort of by the letter representation of a song and mess it up, then you're screwed up. The value of playing your own music is, like, we don't know it, probably.
We don't know if it's what you wanted.
Right. So I'm not going to know if you meant to do what you did there, necessarily.
Yeah. Report back on this interesting opportunity tonight. Two NFL games, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Bears-Chiefs. Starters are not playing for either team, it seems, in the Bears-Chiefs game. The line has moved toward Chicago, 2.5-point favorite on the road. Again, Sal, after sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.